Welcome to The Best Worst Story You've Never Read. I'm your host, Cameron Lindsay, and each week I hope you'll join me to hear a story that sucks. A tale that is so terrible, an adventure so awful, that it's great. This week I will be reading Chapter 2 of the story that we started the previous week. As always, the author's original intent has been maintained as much as possible. So without further ado, here is Wandering Wanderers, A Mystery, Chapter 2, by Z.F. Windler, 11. Chapter 2. Ambrose ran through the woods. He knew he was fleeing something, but he didn't know what. The woods were thinning, and he felt that if he got clear of the woods, he would finally be safe. The woods stopped abruptly at the cliffs which Ambrose had almost tumbled over. He stood on the edge, trapped. He turned around and saw a pack of foxes running towards him. There were at least 20 foxes, and the foxes out into a semicircle around him. He reaches slowly for his gun, holstered on his hip. As his hand closed around the gun, a voice boomed from the sky and said, "He woke up, covered in sweat and shaking. The dimly lit hotel room had a sour smell hanging in the air. He sat on the edge of the bed and tried to get his bearings. He had a killer to catch today, not to mention the small matter of pinning his murders on the killer of Wilma Beauregard. As he rode with the local enforcement to the place where Wilma's body had been found, he was still trying to figure out how someone had copied his crimes so closely.
Someone is a fan of me, he thought. But the difference between most killers and me is your run-of-the-mill serial killer wants credit for his work. Me? I want to keep doing what I'm doing. And I suppose being an FBI agent gives me some advantage as well.
We're here, right where the woods meet the cliff,
says the local sheriff, a tall man named Dwight Eisenhower. Ambrose grunted and moves to the edge of the cliff. He peers over and whistled. It was a long way down. Eisenhower was watching him closely. A wire had from the FBI. He had been told to watch Ambrose. An internal investigation agent was coming tomorrow. Things were getting complicated. That was Chapter 2 of Wandering Wanderers, A Mystery, by Z.F. Windler, 11. And now time for the part of the show where we bring on a special guest to talk about the story that we just heard. Today we have Aaron Clarkson, the best Super Smash Bros. For N64 player in the greater Austin area, and also the owner of two fluorescent green elbows. Aaron, yes. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Me and my shining elbows are happy to be here.
Yeah, well, I mean, we're happy to have them because, it's difficult to read the notes. The closet's very dark, and your elbows are really useful for seeing them, I guess.
Yeah, it's great. They do well in dark places, I've been told.
Yeah. Not so well in light places, though?
Surprisingly, no.
No, that's a pity. Do they store sunlight and then glow afterwards, like other glow-in-the-dark things, or... are they constantly glowing, but you just can't tell as much in the sun?
You know, they're constantly glowing, you can't really tell. But some days, given the right amount of fog, they really shine.
Oh, wow. Interesting. So maybe the humidity helps, too?
Yeah. If I lived in Houston, it would just be a constant beacon of light.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's true for a lot of people, because sometimes Houston can be kind of, like, sad. And then, like, when they move to Houston, it's like, they are happy, and so they get in there, and... they are a beacon of light for others.
Yeah, as someone who's born in Houston and lived there for 14 years, it's a sad place.
Yeah, well, to those who are living in Houston, our hearts go out to you. We wish you well. So, well, what about the Super Smash Brothers stuff? That's pretty interesting.
Yeah, so I always grew up, of course, like most kids in the 90s, playing N64. Mm. I'm not going to say Nintendo 64. It's N64 if you're a real 90s kid.
That's true.
And, you know, you played your Mario Parties, your Mario Karts, Donkey Kong, whatever whatever game you really played. But Super Smash, when that came out, that ruined some friendships.
Yeah.
I don't know if you're on the greatest of terms to some of your friends from, you know, your early childhood age, but some of mine, we don't mesh anymore, and it's because of that game.
Well, I didn't actually have much of a childhood. It's just a expanse of blankness and a collective forgetfulness in everyone's memory, basically. I'm not entirely sure it happened, so the friends that I made there are also non-existent, but I suppose when I first came into being, I had some friends, but I don't anymore because of that game. Yeah, you're right. Well, who do you main?
So, I use Yoshi. He is my number one. But first, you've got to kind of get past my other characters, like my Ness, my Pikachu.
Okay.
I've even been known to throw out a Jigglypuff and a Samus every now and then.
Oh, wow.
Just to keep things interesting.
Very versatile.
Yeah. And unlike most players, I've developed a technique called the Claw.
Oh, the Claw, as in you're suggesting you play with a claw machine claw, or
almost?
Is there okay?
Now, like the claw machine claw, most people use one thumb or one hand.
Sure, yeah, that's how I do it.
Well, with me, I use two fingers, and I'm able to rotate the joystick back and forth ever so slightly at a faster advantage than the most people using the one thumb can.
Oh, wow.
So the N64 controller is designed to mainly just use your thumb.
Right.
And it slows you down just using your fat thumb.
Interesting.
So using your fat thumb and a skinny pointer finger.
Ah, it gives you the added advantage.
Exactly. I'm able to move a lot faster, a lot quicker. Mm. Science has showed that it's at least 35% faster.
Oh, there have been studies done on this.
My own studies, but it's definitely science.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like anything is science if we want it to be.
Well, sixth grade taught me if I write a hypothesis, I do some trials and testing, and I just write it down, it's science.
I mean, I feel like you need to say your apparatus, but...
apparatus?
Yeah.
There it is. That's a word.
One of the other words that are on there. I did a study on what words need to be on science studies.
Oh, well, look at that.
Apparatus was one of them.
I learned a new word today.
It was in my conclusion, but...
nice.
Yeah, I feel like anything really can be science, so... science is whatever we want it to be. It's entirely opinion.
I agree.
Yeah. Well, that's interesting. Is this a patented technique? Is this exclusively yours?
It's kind of a hidden thing. It's one of those things that people have tried to replicate, and millions upon millions of people have failed.
Oh, really?
There was one kid out in Japan that tried his hardest and actually dislocated his finger trying.
Oh, poor guy.
My hat goes off to him. He was really good at it for a while, but he just didn't maintain.
His finger went off to you.
That's a great, great pun. I like it.
Thank you. I mean, he probably would not, with his finger being removed and everything.
So. Yeah. I mean, his finger's literally off to me, but whatever. He just tried. He just didn't exercise it the right way it needed to be, and next thing you know, no finger.
That's a pity. Was he using Yoshi as well? Do you have any idea?
Most people don't even try to do the Claw of Yoshi that try to imitate me. They just understand that Yoshi is a very unique character.
Oh.
And you need to be at your best any possible thumb, claw movement, whatever, before you try to use the Yoshi.
I see.
Or you're just going to look like a fool.
Yeah. Well, so something I've always been confused about is, in Super Mario Brothers, in Super Mario World, Mario punches the back of Yoshi's head to have him release his tongue, right?
Right.
Does Yoshi have to punch the back of his own head to make his tongue go out like that?
Yoshi learned over the years how to stick his tongue out. It's kind of like a dog with a shock collar. He knows not to bark anymore, even after you take the shock collar off. So it's like when he wants to stick his tongue out, he's just feeling thump on the back of his head.
Okay. All right. Well, that's good stuff to know. What about the story? I guess we should talk a little bit about that. Maybe not too much. I mean, it's...
Oh, is that why I was here?
Yeah, I mean, that was the general idea, was to... I mean, you listened to us record the story, and then I asked you on here. You knew the best worst story. It's kind of a... You know, it is, but it's not important. Maybe you can just formulate some thoughts right now.
Yeah, I'll just kind of make some things up as we go.
Okay. What were your initial impressions? You heard the story before, and the earlier chapters, the prologue in the first chapter of Wandering Wanderers, a mystery by Z.F. Windler 11. And now you've heard chapter 2. What are your thoughts?
I'm a little concerned for Ambrose here.
Oh, really?
I think he's a little in over his head.
Oh, after having killed so many people, you still think he's... That's the point that he's over his head.
Yeah, I think when he finally sees, like, oh my goodness, I didn't kill this one. Who did it? He's kind of thinking, where did I keep that? Where did I not wrap up that loose end?
Oh, I see.
Somehow he had a tail, and it got out, and now someone else is doing this.
Oh, so you think that not only does he, is someone copycatting him, but they know it was him who did it?
I think so.
Hmm, that's interesting. That's interesting. Well, it'll be exciting to see in the coming weeks how the story wraps up. ZF Windler 11 has some interesting thoughts on where this is going. I've read a little bit further ahead, so.
Okay.
But I guess listeners at home, you'll have to listen to the future episodes to find out what happens. I should say, I thought that the inclusion of the Fox Dream was particularly interesting. In the previous chapter, they made a note that there were a small number of foxes, or the large number of foxes, rather, in a note. And I think foxes are going to play an important part in the rest of the story, so it'll be interesting. Have foxes played important parts in your personal story?
My personal story, not so much, but a good friend of mine I know actually went and lived with foxes for about 4 years.
Oh, wow.
It was one of those national study abroad programs, except for no one sponsored him, and he just got up and dropped out of college and went to live with foxes. Yeah.
Well, that's interesting. Well, did he learn anything?
No, he was actually killed 4 years into the study by a brown bear of all the things.
Oh, wow. You know, brown bears can be dangerous.
So. Yeah, so I never got to ask them.
That's too bad.
Yeah. Well,
I'm sorry about your friend, but maybe I can offer some condolence with a game.
I love games.
Okay, well, the game that we're going to play is what we play every week, actually, where I ask the guests to write a sequel to the story that we just heard. But in this instance, since there are chapters in the coming time, in the next few episodes... and since we've already done a prequel, what if you wrote something that's happening congruently? Or better yet, what if you wrote a story that was a backstory about the sheriff, Dwight Eisenhower?
Yeah, I like that. He was just randomly thrown in there. I think I can do something for Eisenhower.
Yeah, yeah. He seems to offer a lot of possibility, I guess, would be the best way to say it. So I think that could be good. So... Are you ready? Do you need any preparations or anything? Is there anything you need to get out of your system before you get into the writing mood?
Bathroom.
Well, it's just out there and around the corner.
Oh, I don't need it. I just wanted to say bathroom.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right. Well, with that bathroom, we'll take our. Well, that's the tricky thing. You only get 5 minutes to write it.
I might need to use the bathroom then.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, in that case, we'll take our 5, possibly 6 for the bathroom usage.
Of course.
Minutes now. And we're back. So that's 5 minutes.
Yeah.
You got a story written during that time?
I'm sorry, a what?
A story. You were supposed to be writing, like, kind of a retelling of what was happening with Dwight Eisenhower, the sheriff, during the 5 minutes? Did you not do that?
You know, I'm not going to lie to you. I didn't do it.
Okay.
Can I have another 5 minutes?
Yeah, I mean, it's a little unorthodox, but sure, yeah.
Yeah, let's take another 5.
Okay, we'll take another 5 minutes now. Yeah.
Shining on you, and the rain held off till you.
bum, 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 bum. We're back.
We're back. You have a story this time.
Yes.
And it's a full story. Like
it's well, it started off as a cow. I'll show you. It's so as you can see,
wow.
It kind of started as a cow. And again, I always draw the udders first.
I thought those were legs, but those are definitely udders.
Yeah, when you look at it that way, I could see the legs, but they're definitely udders. And then words started appearing. Yeah, so I guess that's the story you were looking for. So yes, I did, to answer your question.
I would like to tell you that's a terrible cow.
You know, it is. It is, and you're absolutely right.
I would like to. We have a very warm community here at the podcast, and I would like to, if you'll let me for a second, listeners, I think a lot of us struggle with drawing cows, and I think it would be great if any of you all are expert cow drawers. Perhaps we should band together and make a workshop, and let's learn how to draw cows together. I think that would be a good idea.
That would be great.
So let us know if you have that expert cow drawing skill, and we'll get it done.
Yeah.
Speaking of it done, you got the story done. Let's hear it.
Yeah, let's go ahead and do this.
So, whenever you're ready, this is a response to Wandering Wanderers Mystery by ZF Wendler 11.
Eisenhower is not your run-of-the-mill small-town cop. Born in Florida, Eisenhower spent most of his summers fishing off the coast. When he was 20, Eisenhower decided he wanted to be a cop. Graduating at the top of his class in the police academy, he was offered a job on the spot. Sadly, this feel-good story took a shocking twist. Eisenhower was in a high-speed chase when he was on duty and got T-boned by oncoming traffic, by a Prius nonetheless. Most of his memory had been lost. Well, everything except for the past 5 years. Living in Florida became hard for Eisenhower. People knew who he was, but he did not know who they were. Eisenhower decided to start a new life somewhere else. Dorsey Cliffsburg is where Eisenhower moved to start a new life. A simple town with simple people. Eisenhower became the sheriff of the new town, and he was ready to start his new life.
Wow. That's, that was really beautiful.
Yeah, I thought so.
It was picturesque, I think. Not in the sense of, like, the picture that you drew of the cow.
Yeah, that wasn't beautiful.
No, it was very, the story was very unlike the picture of the cow that you drew. But it was good. I liked it a lot, actually. I particularly liked the amnesiac trope. I thought that was pretty clever. A lot of people say that it comes up too often, in fiction. In the media, but I would say it doesn't come up enough, you know?
Yeah, I don't think it does either.
If we're going to be honest with ourselves, like, there are lots of people forget things. There are lots of amnesiacs, and I feel like the media should represent that.
There are.
I'm trying to think of how many people are amnesiacs, and I feel like it's a lot, actually.
I think a recent statistic released by MIT the other day said it was one out of every two people.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh. And, well, there were two of us here, so, like, chances are at least one of us in our life is going to become an amnesiac, which is just crazy to think about.
Wait, do what?
I was saying that, we came back from the show, and we're starting the story.
Right.
Do you have a story?
So it kind of started off as a cow.
What do you mean by it started off
as
a cow?
I started drawing a cow. Like there, see the udders and.
Oh, those are udders.
Yeah. Some people say they look like legs, but
they don't even look like legs.
Wow. Well, I mean, tilt your head just a little.
Oh God, that is profane.
Yeah. I was afraid of that.
I mean, the rest of it is the story.
It's weird. Words just kind of came on the page instead of cow.
Okay.
Cow things.
Well, it's getting kind of late. I feel like time's just flying by us. Let's not read the story.
Yeah.
Let's just move forward. But I would like to say, you probably need to, like, consider joining an artist's workshop or something. Really improve your skill. In fact, Listeners, if any of you are as good at drawing cows, please help out our guest. He really could use your assistance in learning how to draw cows. So we'll just skip the story for now. But I do want us to play at least one game.
Yeah, that'd be great.
So there's this giant wheel here, right?
Yeah, I noticed that.
It is actually the Wheel of Games.
Fancy.
Yeah, there are lots of games on it. We spin it, and whatever game it lands on, we play.
Yeah.
Would you be interested in doing that?
That sounds great. I'm excited for this thing.
Okay, so I'm going to ask you to spin it.
Okay.
But there are a variety of ways to spin it, right? So you can spin it regularly, right?
Right.
You can spin it irregularly, right?
I think so,
yeah. You can.
You can, okay.
You can put a spin on it.
Okay.
And you can take it down to Spin Dixie.
Ooh, I like Spin Dixie.
Really?
Yeah. Huh. Let's do Spin Dixie.
Okay, well, I guess take it down to Spin Dixie.
Step right up and spin the wheel at Spin Dixie.
Oh, wow. That was pretty good.
Thank you.
Pretty homely, I think. Homely in a good way.
Yeah.
Homely as in like home.
Not the homely where, like...
Like where you look plain.
Yeah.
Yeah, no,
that one. Okay. As long as we're there, I'll stay here.
Well, maybe like a southern plainness.
Southern plain's good.
Yeah. Like the plains of the south.
Yeah, we'll take that.
Anyway, it's landed on a game now. It's landed on listener letters.
Ooh, I like that.
Well, it's not actually a game, I should say. We're just going to read letters.
Okay.
So, listeners, send in letters to me. And some of them I read on the air. Listeners, if your letter gets read on the air, congratulations. I get a lot of letters, and I do read all of them. As you probably noticed, I've got a small fire pit in there. It gets really cold in here at night, and I burn the letters for warmth.
So, I don't blame you.
Yeah, I mean, it just gets a little too brisk.
Right.
Anything under, like, I don't know, like 72, too cold for me. I my blood stops moving. So I just got to get it above that, basically. All right, so, well, I'll read the first letter.
Yeah, sounds great.
Show you how it's done.
Okay.
So it takes a little skill.
I mean, I think I know how to read a letter, but just in case.
Yeah. It's a little more complex than just a single letter. Like, it's not just like A or B. Right?
Oh, that could have been embarrassing.
Yeah. Right. So it's like a letter like post.
You definitely should go first.
Okay. Okay. So I'll just get a letter here. And, okay, so this is from Hubert from Hillsboro. It's a lovely little alliteration there.
Yeah, I like that.
Thanks for that, Hubert. It's actually not a letter. This is just an old copy of Reader's Digest. So, thank you, Hubert. It looks like he's underlined all of the letter H's in the Reader's Digest. So, thanks for that, Hubert. I wish I had burnt that earlier. It would have provided a lot more warmth than the others. And I would have had something to talk about on the show. But, whatever, I guess. Well, let's do another letter.
Yeah.
Let's not just leave it to Hubert.
Okay.
So, are you ready to read one?
Yeah, I think I can do that.
Okay, so just get a letter out of the bag
okay.
there.
Just...
Yeah.
Ooh, this one's nice and frilly.
Yeah. Yeah, that's it.
Whoa.
It's a fancy envelope.
Yeah.
If you'll just say who it's from, where they're from, and then let us know what they have to say.
Okay. This one is from Rebecca in Newark.
Oh, Newark, New Jersey?
Newark, New Jersey, yes.
Oh, that's wow. My favorite Newark.
Yeah.
Which, admittedly, I don't like any of them.
I didn't know there were more than one Newarks, but...
Yeah.
Okay.
There are Newarks within Newark, too. They just get Newark and Newark.
I think Matt Damon made a movie about that. It's called Inception.
Oh.
I could be wrong. Anyway, we'll get back to the letter.
Yeah. So, okay. Yeah, Rebecca from Newark, what does she have to say?
Dear Cameron, yesterday I was on my way to the pet store to adopt a cute baby iguana. When I got to the pet store, I realized they don't let you adopt cute baby pet iguanas. You have to go catch them yourself. So, out here in Newark, there's no place to really catch a baby iguana. Where do you recommend that I go?
Wow, Rebecca, right?
Rebecca.
Rebecca, that's, an interesting question, one that I am definitely qualified to answer. Mountains, Very high mountains, the ones that are obscured by the clouds at their peaks, and even some of the other parts of it. The ones that, as you keep going up, your breath is just stolen away from you as you grasp for oxygen. The ones that, even when it's not raining, your skin still feels like it's covered with moisture, but that moisture is freezing. That is not a place where you'll find baby iguanas, so don't go there. Maybe a swimming pool? I don't know.
Yeah, you know, I've never once thought in my life, where do I catch a baby iguana?
I guess, there's an old saying about this. How does that go? Help me finish it. It's, when the iguana sings the song.
When the iguana sings the song. Then look up. Look up, because it's not too long.
Yes, because it's a baby.
Yeah.
So up, I guess.
I guess just look up.
Well, there you go, Rebecca. Look up, don't go near mountains, maybe swimming pools. One of those will probably have a baby iguana. Thank you, Rebecca, and I guess I should say thank you, too, Aaron, for being on the show. It's been a lot of fun.
Yeah, it really has. I've enjoyed being cramped up in your beautiful studio here, and again, I thought it was a little weird with the whole belt taking it off, but obviously seeing the magnets, it was a smart choice.
I appreciate that. Your belt was entirely made of metal, actually, and... I thought that was a little strange. I would think that wouldn't help for, like, bending around your waist.
It helps for other things that we won't get into on the show, but maybe off mic we'll talk about some things.
Okay, sure. I wish you the best of luck with those other things, with your Smash Brothers playing. Your elbows, don't think you need any luck with those.
Oh, no, these are almost golden.
Special thanks to ZFWindler11 for use of their story on this week's show. Special thanks to Aaron Clarkson for being our special guest this week. Our theme music is by Dustin Jones. Brian Dickman produces the show. I am your host, Cameron Lindsay, and this has been The Best Worst Story You've Never Read. Keep the stories coming.